We left off with my nemushos. The last two words on the line, about six lines into the page, my nemushos. So we had mentioned in yesterday's shir that rich people are allowed to go and collect the leket, shichcha, and peah, the things that were left for the poor people in the field, once the nemushos have already left. So what in the world does that word mean? My nemushos. Who are these nemushos that once they leave, a rich person is allowed to go take the things that are otherwise left for the poor people? Some Rabbi Yochanan, Sabi de Azli Atigra. They're old poor people that have to walk with a cane, and they'll find every little last stalk that's there, because since they're walking so slowly, they're going to see everything. They're not going to pass by anything too quickly. So once those people have gone through, and anything that's left behind, no one is going to even think they'll be able to find anything in that field anymore, and therefore the rich people can go and take it, because you don't have to worry that poor people are still going to be coming to take more. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says, Lakote Basar Lakote, that it's a poor person who brings his son to walk behind him, so that when the Aniyim come and pick it up a second time, then everyone else is allowed to come and take it, because the guy walked with his son behind him to pick up anything that he misses. So then you could be certain that they're going to pick up everything. So those are two definitions of the word nemushos. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says that a third explanation of why we need to be told when the zman of the second rain is. Remember, in the last year we said, we raised the question, what's the nafkamina? Who cares when the zman of the second rain is? The first rain, we need to know the zman, because that's when you start asking for rain. The third rain, we need to know the zman, because that's when you start fasting if it hasn't rained yet. Who cares when the second rain is? So we had two answers already in the previous year. Now Rav Papa gives a third answer. Kidei lahalich b'shvilei arashus, to know at one point it's mutter for people who are walking by to go through paths in private fields, that they have permission from a beis din to walk through a field. You're only allowed to walk through someone else's field until that second rain. Once that second rain comes, you're not allowed to. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, a fourth reason why it's important to know when the second rain is, a fourth nafkamina, leva'ir perushvius, the fruit that grew on its own during the Shemitah year. You're not allowed to do anything to make fruit grow on the Shemitah year, but sometimes it grows on its own. You have to get rid of, you have to be mafkir, you have to make hefker those fruits that are left in the house during the eighth year when they're no longer available in the field. Titanan, the Mishnah says, Ad masai nen v'sarfin, until when can you get hana and burn it? B'tevenu v'kashal shvius, burn what? The straw and the hay that grew in Shemitah year. Only until the second rain. My time, why is it that you have to get rid of it after the second rain? That all the food should be out there in the field for your animals. So we darshin that means that as long as it's available for animals to eat in the field, you could feed it to your animals in the house. But once it's no longer available to the wild beasts out in the field, then you should no longer have it available to your behemoths, to your domesticated animals in the house. You can't feed it to your cat and dog in the house if it's not available for the chaya, for the wild beasts in the fields. So we assume that this stuff is only around in the fields until the second rain. So important concept, kala l'chaya min asada. Kala l'chaya min asada means at a point where the Shemitah produce is no longer available in the field for the wild beasts, and that's when you have to do biur. Biur is another important concept. Biur means being mafkir, getting rid of any Shemitah produce that you may have in your house. But the main point over here, I guess, will be the Gemara lists four nafkaminas for knowing when the second rain is. Two of them were in yesterday's shir, one today's shir. The first nafkamina was the nafkamina of Rabbi Zera in terms of taking a neder. The second nafkamina was to know when you could go pick up the leket, shichcha, and peah, the things that you normally leave for poor people when a rich person can come take it from the field. The third nafkamina is to know when you're no longer allowed to walk through the paths in people's fields. And the fourth nafkamina is from Nachum Yitzchak, to know at what point you have to get rid of any peiros that are in your house that grew during Shemitah. So now the Gemara is going to explain, why do we call rain revia? Where does the word revia come from? So I'm Rabbi Yavo, my lashon revia. What is the language of revia to describe rain? So it means davar sheroveya esakarka. It's like something that's having bia with the ground, that's being boel the ground, that's having marital relations with the ground. Kid Rav Yehuda, like Rav Yehuda taught, Dam Rav Yehuda mitra bala da arahu. It's as if the rain is the husband of the ground. Shenem when it describes the rain and the snow coming down, it says veholida. It causes the ground to be molded. Molded is lashon of giving birth. So it's like the ground is the wife of the rain. Vamar Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo says the amount of rain that's supposed to come, revia rishona kadesh sheterid bekarka tefach, should moisten the ground to one tefach deep. Shnia, the second rain, kadesh loguf ba'pi chavis, it should make the ground moist enough that you should be able to take dirt from the ground and make a seal on to cover up the mouth of a barrel without having to add any more water, meaning it should be good and muddy, that you should be able to shape it around a barrel. The Gemara quotes another comment, Amar Rav Chista, if enough rain came down to be able to seal off a barrel, so that there's no curse of va'atzar in that year. That's the curse of va'atzar is the pasuk that when Hashem gets angry at us, Hashem will stop the heavens and there won't be any rain. So you know that that's not happening if it got rainy enough that it's muddy enough, that the ground is muddy enough that you can cover a barrel with the muddy ground. Vamrav Chista, Gesham Shiyardu Kodem Va'atzar, rain that came down before the Zman Kriyashma, where you say the word Va'atzar, Ein Behem Mishum Va'atzar, is also not going to be a curse. Amrabai Lo Amaran, Ella Kodem Va'atzar Du'urta. That's only if it comes down before Kriyashma at night. Avul Kodem Va'atzar Ditzafra, but if it comes before the Kriyashma in the morning, Yesh Ben Mishum Va'atzar, sometimes it could still be a curse. Amrav Yudu Bar Yitzchak, Hani Anani Ditzafra, Lespu Meshasha. Clouds in the morning are not so full of blessing. Tichsiv ma'as alecha Ephraim, ma'as alecha Yehuda, v'chastechem ka'anan boker. That the chesed and the ma'asim tovim that we do has no benefit if we don't do tshuva, and it's like clouds that come in the morning time. That it may look nice; it's nice to see that there are clouds there, but it has absolutely no benefit if it comes in the morning time. So we see from there that morning clouds are worthless, and therefore rain that comes before the morning Shema could still be a klala. Rain that comes before the nighttime Shema, that's only going to be a bracha. Amri of Papa Labaye, Amri Yenshi, but don't people always say, Bimiftach Bave Mitra, if the rain comes down early in the morning, where people open up their doors, Bar Hamara, then the guy who sells the grain, Moch Sakecho Gnei, we could tell him he could fold up his bag and go right back to sleep, because the rain that's going to come down in the morning time is going to cause so much bracha that everybody's going to have plenty of grain and no one's going to need to buy anything from this guy. So don't you see that rain that comes down in the morning is actually a very big bracha, that it's not a klala? So how can you say that only nighttime rain is a bracha and that morning time rain is not a bracha? Says Mar Lo Kasha, Had Katir Be'eva, when we say that rain that comes down in the morning time is a bracha, that's talking about where the sky is full of thick clouds, and that's going to be a great thing. Vaha, when we say that it's not a siman bracha, dekater ba'anani, that's where the clouds are very thin type of clouds, where if it comes before the zman kriyash mashal shachris, that could still be a curse. Amar of Yehuda, Tavel Shata de Tevis Armal. Actually, let's make a main point out of that. Nighttime rain is a bracha. Nighttime rain is a bracha. Morning time rain depends on the thickness of the clouds. Morning rain depends on thickness of the clouds. Good, says the Gemara further. Amar Rav Yehuda, Tav L'shata de Teves Armalta. It's good for a year when the month of Teves is in Almanim, which means when there's no rain that comes down in Teves. Notice the language of Almana. Why do we call it an Almana? Because remember we just said before that the rain is like the husband of the ground. So if the ground doesn't have rain, the ground is like an Almana. It's like a woman that doesn't have a husband. Ikeda Amri, de lo bairi tarbitzi, that because the rain doesn't come down in Teves, those those places that we teach Torah are not going to be empty. V'ikita amri delo shakel shudafna, that because the rain doesn't come down during that month, the plague is not going to affect the ground, the grain during that month. So Gemara says, "Aini, is this really so?" Vamra chista tavel shatet teves minavalta, that the roads get ruined and full of mud because of the rain that comes down during the month of Teves. So says Gemara, so don't you see that it's a bad thing for rain to come down during the month of Teves? So says Gemara, lo kasha, that's not a contradiction. Ha, when we say that it's a good thing for the year when the rain comes down in Teves, dasa mitra meikara, that's if it already came down during the month of Cheshvan, enough rain, and therefore when it continues to come down during Teves, then it's bad for the world. Ha, deloa samitra meikara, when we said it's good for the year, sorry, when we say it's good, the rain during Teves is good, is deloa samitra meikara, where it didn't come down yet. So again, I guess we'll make this main point. Rain in Teves is good if it's the first rain. If it's the first rain, but bad if it's the second rain. Good. If rain comes down on some of a country and it doesn't come down on another part of the country, that's not going to be a curse of the Atzar, where Hashem holds back the heavens. Is that really so? Doesn't it say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings famine, that when Hashem is giving curses, he says, yeah, one of the cities is going to have rain and the other city won't have rain. Varma vidam rav, stay on the klala, that all of that is considered a curse. Not only the places that it doesn't rain is cursed, even the places where it did rain is going to be a curse, because of all the rain that gathers there, all the people are going to gather together there, all the rain is going to gather together there and ruin all of the grain that's growing there. So you see that when all of the rain in a given country is in one spot of the country and other spots don't have any rain, you see that it's a bad thing. So how can you say that it's a good thing when it rains in part of a country and doesn't rain in another part of a country? Over here you see it's a bad thing when it rains in part of a country and doesn't rain in other parts of the country. Lo kasha, it's not a question. Hada asatuva, when we said that rain, this type of rain in part of a country is a bad thing, that's when it rains a lot in one part of the country. Hada asakadimibayle, but when we say it's a good thing, that's if it rains normally in part of the country. So it's a good thing for that part of the country. Amar Vashi, and it's meduyik this way, timater, tehei mako matar. It says timater when it talks about rain coming down in a city that's a curse. It uses the word timater, which means that place is a rain place. So Shema Mino, we see that must be a significant amount of rain. So let's make another main point over here, a lot of main points over here. Another main point is that when it rains in part of a country, in part of a country, but not the other part, it's good if the rain is in good measure, if the rain is moderate, let's say, but not good if the rain is too plentiful. Good. So says the Gemara further now. In places where it doesn't rain very much and people are waiting for the rain to come, so Chazal made a takana that we should bless and give hodah to Hashem whenever it starts to rain. So Amar Rabbi Avo, Me'emesay Mevorchen al Geshamim. What is the proper amount of rain that has to come for us to give a bracha to Hashem, to bless Hashem for the rain? Mishayetze Chasun Likras Kala. From the time that the Chasun goes to greet the Kala. What does that mean? When it rains so much that the ground becomes so moist that when another drop of rain falls on the ground, a drop pops up from the ground as the rain comes down. You ever see when it rains heavily, sometimes it drops pop up from the ground, like a chassan would go out to greet a kala. And again, notice the language that it uses of a chassan and kala, because we treat the ground and the rain like husband and wife in some way. So once it rains that much, that's time to bless Hashem and to thank Hashem for all the great rain. So my part, what bracha should you say? What bracha do you say on rain? Some Rav Yudah Amar Rav, with the bracha you say is as follows: Modim Anachnu Lach Hashem Elokeinu, we thank you Hashem, Al Kol Tipa V'Tipa Sharad Talanu, for each and every drop that you brought down for us. Rabbi Yochanan Mesayim Bahachi, and Rabbi Yochanan finishes off the bracha as follows: Ilu Finu Malishira Kayamul Shonein Arina Kamun Galav. If our mouths were full of song like the sea, and our tongues were full of song like the waves of the sea, Ad Al Yazvenu Rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu. And we continue that phrase, we know it from Nishmas, Ein Anachem Asvikim Lozuch Hashem Elokeinu, etc., like we say in Nishmas Kol Chai on Shabbos morning, until we get to Al Yazvenu Rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu V'lozvunu Baruch Rov HaHodaos. So Gemara says, wait a second, why do we make the bracha Baruch Rov HaHodaos? Is it Rov HaHodaos V'lo Kol HaHodaos? We're saying that Hashem deserves most of our thanks, but He doesn't deserve all of our thanks. Shouldn't we say even better that Hashem deserves all of our thanks? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Ema, Kel HaHodaos. We shouldn't say Rov HaHodaos, we should say the God of thanks. Amar Rav Papa says, since there's a machlokas, how to say this bracha? Hilkach Nimrinu L'Tarvayim. Therefore we say both. We say Kel HaHodaos, Virov HaHodaos. We say both Kel HaHodaos and Rov HaHodaos in order to satisfy both of these opinions. Okay, so that is it for today. Next time we'll pick up on Daf Zayin and Aleph with Amar Rabbi Avahu.